The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Muscle morons, welcome back to the Good Guys podcast, the number one podcast in the world with two Jewish hosts with BMIs over 30 and very short hair.
Yes, it's too short, right? It's too short.
No, you're, first of all, just all I want to say is, you're copying me.
It's unbelievably short. It's like...
Did I inspire this?
You didn't. And like, let me just explain. Like, why as a species, when we watch our barber cutting our hair too short, why as a species, when a masseuse is rubbing us just a little bit too hard, and why as a species, when we get something that we don't like at a restaurant and the waiter or waitress comes over and says, how's your food? We say, great. Like, what is it that we're so afraid of confrontation? I could have easily just said, hey, you know, I think you're cutting it a little bit short. And then I wouldn't have been left with something that feels like a pre-summer haircut. It's 40 degrees outside and pouring rain. I need more hair. Like, if this happened first week of May, okay, no problem. At least I'll feel the breeze in my hair. It's okay. But being this short... Cold, no good.
Well, a couple of things. First, you are suffering from living in a place where the weather changes like the temperature of a mid-50s woman going through menopause.
It's unbelievable.
Secondly, and I will pull this to the room in our dear Marshall, I think you can't... Here's the problem with haircuts. I learned this. The first cut is the cut. The first snip is the snip. And then everything next... is matching that first cut. So if the first cut is too short, you're effed, Marshall.
As a middle part king, which they haven't seen. Yeah, the first snip is very important, but there's two snips because it's middle parted. So the two snips to be on point.
So maybe you go.
Who sings that song, The First Cut is the Deepest? And do you think it was about a haircut?
Rod Stewart?
The first cut is the deepest. Baby, I know.
It is. It's the deepest. I agree that the first snip of a haircut can lead you astray, but I don't know. Like, they're snipping away. They're slowly going shorter and shorter. I had an opportunity, needless to say, to not have my hair be this short, and I just let it happen, and it is what it is. I have a dimple. I didn't know that I had a dimple here. I can see
it. You have a head dimple?
I can see
it. That's trauma. How you have a divot in your head?
By the way, any chance that's cancer?
Any chance that's cancer? That should be our next podcast.
Any chance that's cancer?
The most Jewish thing you've ever said. Any chance that's cancer?
It's like this big. It's not. It's pretty small. It's a small little. Not dimple. I said dimple. I didn't mean dimple. I meant beauty mark. I meant beauty.
Ah.
No, yeah, dimple. How would you have a dimple
in
your
head? I thought you had a divot in your head. Like you were walking around like homegirl in Poor Things.
This dent that I haven't seen before.
Once when I was two, Bruce was practicing his golf swing and he kind of got me. Thanks, Dad. No, I mean, I think you're fine. There is like a, let's look it up because why not? Everyone should know this. And by that, I mean anyone of the Jewish persuasion who's a bit of a hypochondriac, but signs of a cancerous mole.
Yes.
I think there's an acronym of things to look for, but.
I know that it's not raised. I know that's a thing. Usually they need to be raised.
It's not. That's not only the thing though. It's not always sweet baby raised.
God.
Okay. A, B, C, D, E is okay. The rule in helpful in remembering the warning signs of melanoma. Asymmetry, the shape of one half of the skin lesion does not match the other. Border, the edges are ragged, notched, uneven, or blurred. Color, shades of black, brown, and tan may be present. Diameter, and evolving.
Now I have to look. Otherwise, I'm not
going
to be
able to. So diameter, we're good. Evolving, we wouldn't know. Anyone who's not watching the pod right now, Ben is taking a selfie of his head lesion.
I think it's fine. It looks symmetrical. I don't see any jagged lines. It's a light. I wouldn't call it pink. It's in the pink family. It's sort of pig colored.
Maybe it's a super sweet skin tag.
And it's ugly. So,
oof.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Wow, a lot's been revealed with this new haircut of yours. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no good. It's fine. It's fine. This is why I like to keep my hair longer. Long hair, you have less problems. You don't see the male pattern baldness. I have light stuff going on up top. Light stuff. Nothing crazy. But when my hair's longer, you definitely can't tell. When it's shorter, a little more of the sun shines through.
Look at my outfit right now. Am I in my like uncut joms? Uncut joms. Am I in my like uncut gems era, like 47th Street Diamond District era? Like, okay, paid shirt, Levi jeans, and my gold chai necklace, very displayed.
I didn't even realize you look fantastic.
Thanks, babe.
Wow.
This is me now.
Paige.
Shout out,
Paige. Yeah.
Thanks. I gotta get
Adam
some
Sandler
like
core.
You know, when a gay man's not attracted to you, it really hurts.
Yeah.
No one said that.
Whoa! All right, Marshall. Finally. So what else? So yeah, this is where I'm at. I'm in my Paige life. I'm in my Uncut Gems era, and I have a very important question for you. What are you doing for Easter, Ben? It's coming up.
I know that we like hunt Easter bunnies, but like, is that like code for Jews, or like, what's the deal?
You know, not everything.
we'll probably paint some eggs.
We'll paint some eggs. He forgets. I'm married to a wonderful Irish Catholic person with Irish Catholic family.
What are you doing for Easter, Josh?
I would love to. Well, usually we do a nice, let me lay this out. It's so funny because there is a speak pipe coming where a girl says, I'd like you to take a chance and try not to talk about food for the next 10 minutes, good guys.
Impossible. Impossible. Why would we
not
do that?
Possible.
Why? Why would we do that? Especially Easter. Easter, those chocolate covered eggs. Those little peeps that they sell. Do you like the peeps?
Okay, so peeps are
bad.
They're just odd to me. Yeah. I don't know how they came up with it. Like sugar coated marshmallow.
Yeah. Agreed.
In general. But I'm not against the mallow in any way. Like I'm pro mallow, and I don't care who hears it.
It's not a good marshmallow. Like I don't know who you like that marshmallow?
No, it's not a good marshmallow. Let me hear your thoughts on the s'more. Thoughts?
Love. I think it's incredibly messy. I certainly wish that there was an easier way to eat it. It's kind of like one of those Nutri-Grain bars where you take a bite and all of a sudden you're drenched in granola. Like it's unavoidable that you're going to get a little chocolate on your shirt. You're probably going to burn your lip with the marshmallow. You're probably going to get graham cracker on you. Like there are issues with it. But when you get a good bite, it's fantastic. My problem with the s'more is that if I have one bite of a s'more, I'm having 16 Hershey bars. Like I get a taste of that sweet Hershey's chocolate and all I want to do is eat the Hershey chocolate straight. The best part of the s'more, I'm sorry, is the Hershey's chocolate.
Wow. A lot to take in there. Because to me, I think...
Let's debrief.
Yeah, no, let's really dig in. Because I think the party, right? Like the real wild card there is it's a temperature play. We're playing with temperature here, right?
Yes.
Because you get that hot marshmallow that's also, it's kissing, it's touching. There's a relative heatness that's opening up. It's like when you take a wine and you kind of like aerate it and you get all the notes. It's bringing that Hershey to life. It's taking the chocolate on its back and saying, I'm going to carry you for a while, Hershey.
Yes.
I'm going to open you up.
I just had a genius idea. They need to make a graham cracker scoop. A graham cracker
Say
scoop.
More.
A graham cracker scoop would solve this problem. Because you take a graham cracker, right, in the shape of a scoop so that it can hold the marshmallow. The marshmallow is piping hot. You put the piece of chocolate on it, cover it with another scoop, and all of a sudden you're in like a little, I don't know, it like formed like a log. And now this is edible. This you can eat.
I'm thinking this graham cracker looks like a graham sombrero.
Yes. Yes.
A graham cracker Curious George's owner hat.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Ooh. I love that.
Oh, that's good. But then, okay, Then you also have a piece of graham cracker that is the exact size of the sombrero, but it's flat. And then all of a sudden, you just have a fully filled sombrero with marshmallows and chocolate. And all I have to say is bravo. Bravo.
I mean, this is a Dia de los Muertos play, if I've ever seen one.
It is. Somebody needs
to do
it.
Can you imagine commemorative s'mores on the Day of the Dead?
Somebody needs to do it. And it's funny that we naturally got here, but I was thinking from our last episode, the Allen wrench. I spoke passionately about the Allen wrench. There are many things like the Allen wrench that need an upgrade that we just haven't upgraded yet. And one of those things is the s'more.
That's right.
One of those things is the s'more. What else needs an upgrade?
What else needs an upgrade? You know, arguably everything.
Yeah.
But parking tickets, I don't want your ticket. I'm not pushing the button. Figure it out. Bill me. Take a picture of my license plate. I'll see you another time.
Do you ever think to yourself, though, like, are we using the best that we have, or are we just using what we're used to? For example, is the chair the ultimate thing for us to sit in? Is the fork the best way for us to eat food? I'm sure that these things are good. Are they the best? I don't know.
Well, that's a Seinfeld bit, right? Like, where he goes something to the effect of, Asian countries really sticking with the chopsticks. He's like, we've figured out a better way, you know? And it's true. But
we did.
But let me tell you, when I go to a restaurant, a Houston's, you know, a Hillstone establishment, somewhere where you're going to get a nice sushi appetizer and they hand you those chopsticks. And then maybe you're following it with something that's not an Asian flair, a fried chicken sando, perhaps. Maybe you're going to have a salad. I love keeping those chopsticks and eating my salad with it. I think it's better than a fork.
It definitely has to eat slower. And there's something to be said about eating slower. The chopstick makes you really work for your meal.
Yes.
You know? And by the way, if you have ever tried to eat sushi without chopsticks, meal ruined. Ruined. You can't use a fork. You'll have to use your hands. It has to be hands. You can't use a fork. It's totally nuts.
That's right. No, that's an interesting... Yeah, if you were on a date and the person you're with, you have a beautiful, like, spicy tuna and... She stabs it with her fork, pops it in her mouth like a sushi lollipop. Do you go, I'm with a murderer?
I leave. I leave. I don't say a word. I get up and I leave.
That's sick.
Sick. It's like, I don't even know what it is. It's like, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's a murderer. It just means that she doesn't belong in society. She should be murdered.
Yes.
I love that this girl left us a speak pipe saying that we should stop talking about food, and that led us into a 10-minute tangent on food.
I know. It's like she knows us or something.
It's like she knows us or something.
Look, I know you are stressed out about your closet, right? You're like, how do I have so many clothes and nothing to wear? Because you're not buying the right stuff, and you're overpaying, and you don't have timeless pieces that literally could work now or 10 years from now, but that's where Quince comes in. They're gonna upgrade your wardrobe with quality essentials, but at an unbeatable price. Now, they have these like timeless pieces that never go out of style, but the prices are crazy. Like, okay, so I just got this Mongolian cashmere crew neck that literally, you could probably wear it, like the only time you wouldn't be able to wear it is between July and August. But 10 months out of the year, it's a little chilly at night, you throw it on, it's comfy, not too hot, not too light, perfect. And that Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater is $50. Or they have iconic 100% leather jackets, versatile flow knit activewear. As we know, Ben, my co-host, loves activewear because he's got just formidable legs. Really good up close. Anyway, Quince, they partner directly with top factories, so they cut out the middleman, and they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goodguys for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goodguys to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goodguys.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Okay, what else would be like on a first date a bit of a red flag? Like, eating sushi incorrectly. Let's not even call it incorrectly so we sound bougie. Like, anyone stabbing a sushi roll with a fork scares me. Like, use your hand.
We're talking about at a restaurant, red flags, first date at a restaurant.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, just certain, like, things people could do.
Rude to the waiter or waitress. Red flag. Gone.
Not good.
No. If you're not nice, no good. Absolutely no good.
Let's table this. Let's really open it up to the three of us. What about if a person brings up their ex? Because for me, I feel like if there was something pertaining to the conversation and it was relevant, but you said it in a way that was like, where you kind of rolled your eyes and said, well, actually, here comes me bringing up my ex. Like, if you're in on the joke, maybe it's okay. But if you just kind of say like, well, Aaron used to, and I got to go, who's Aaron? And you say, well, we were together 39 months.
2 weeks and 3 days and 4 hours. I don't like pretending that we don't have exes. That's kind of I don't know if that's a hot take or what that is, but most everyone does.
Totally.
So if it's respectful and you're not saying how in love you are with them still, then I think it's fair play.
But like, in what context would you bring up the ex where it would be necessary?
Okay, so I'm saying to you, where do you live? And you say, I live in, you know, I live in Dumbo, Queens. And I'm like, oh, you're a bit of a hipster. And you go, well, my ex was. I'm looking for a new place.
Sure. But that, so in that... In that specific example, you're not close enough, right? Yet, like, you're still getting to know each other. You don't even know where the person lives.
Like, yeah.
I think that in that situation, bringing up Dumbo Queens and that your ex dragged you there is appropriate.
It's Brooklyn, you fucking.
You Dumbo said Brooklyn. Dumbo Queens.
Did I say Queens?
Dumbo's in Brooklyn. Yes. I thought you were making up a fictitious place. Yeah, my ex dragged me to Dumbo Queens.
Oh my God. This is unhinged.
I think personally that there's no reason to bring up the ex ever. There isn't, because it's always just like an extra line. Like, oh, why do you love this restaurant? You can just say, oh, I've eaten here with friends. It's delicious. I've been here before. You don't have to say, oh yeah, me and my ex used to come here all the time. Unnecessary. At least know who you're talking to. If they're very sensitive about this stuff, there's never a need to bring up the ex in particular. You could just say my friend. And then maybe if she pushes, she will push. All right. I don't know.
I just think, like, I agree with you. That would be triggering, right? Because now there's a shadow over that place, right? Because you immediately go, well, now this can never be our place because it was their place.
Yeah.
Right? And not sure I even want to go here anymore because it was their place. But like, if there's an opportunity where even like, if you're talking about like, oh, you're eating Indian food and you're like, I love Indian food. Actually, like I was in India and I had this incredible dish, blah, blah, blah. And so, and they go like, oh, like, who'd you go with? Or like, what was it? Or like, my ex was Indian, so we spent a lot of time there. You know what I mean? Like, there's pertinent information that's sure. relevant to it that I think is unemotional. And if the person takes offense to that, I think they're fucking nuts.
Sure. Yes. In that situation again, and in the Dumbo Queens example, I agree with you. I agree with you. That said, it does depend heavily on how jealous your current girlfriend or wife or whatever it may be is, because there are often times where I'll say, oh, remember when we stayed at this hotel in Puerto Rico, and Claudia will say, oh, it must have been another girl. And it's like, no, it was you. You just don't remember. So I know that, like, if I actually brought something up, God, would she be upset?
Is Turdy viciously jealous? Oh,
yeah. Jealous is the wrong word. She's just protective. Protective. Yeah, well, jealous.
That's a nice,
jealous.
Yeah, that, jealous. That's a nice spin cycle you put that through.
Jealous, protective. jealous, protective.
Which is interesting, too, because in theory, you guys met so young.
I was going to say, like, any, like, oh, I ate at this restaurant with my ex. What was I, six? Like, I went to Chuck E. Cheese with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, no, it doesn't apply to me. We met so young.
I think my wife knows of, like, a couple stories of me and you know, anyone I used to date, and like I know one or two of hers that I bring up and she hates it, and I love it. I'm like, remember him? I was like, am I doing it like Andrew? No, I'm kidding.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think like the possessive ownership nature of, not projecting that on anything or anyone or anything we've said, but like, when people feel like, if anyone's super jealous or doesn't want to talk about people's past in a respectful way, there seems to me a need to like to have possess the person that they're with, like an ownership. And I don't know, like, I'm very accepting of the fact that like, there was a huge life before, hopefully there's not a huge life after. But in this life, in this moment, in this movie, we are together. We are the unit. And you existed before me, but this is the thing right now.
It's a very mature take.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, it's a very mature take.
Hmm. Like, okay, what if you and Turds are 65 and you really bought up to each other, like, you know, there's just something I never tried. And it's, you know, you're like, I've never slept with a Puerto Rican person. I don't know. No. And she's like, I've always wanted to be with, you know, burly construction worker. At 65, do you honor each other and go, you know what? Life is short and you're mine. And
I think so. I think so. 65. Again, this is taking into account that she's going to ask to be with a burly construction worker at 65. I highly doubt it. And am I really going to say, you know, all of a sudden, I really need that Puerto Rican flair? I'm not sure. In this hypothetical situation, though, if one really felt that way, I think I would be okay with it at 65. I think that saying yes gives you a greater opportunity for them not to do it anyways. I feel like that type of question is also really to, like, get a rise. There's no situation where Claudia says, hey, you know, thinking about fucking a construction worker.
Maybe she has a YMCA fetish, like a Village People thing. And she's like, listen, before I go, I'd like a cop, a biker, a construction worker.
Oh, man. Is there a word for something that sounds like a slur but isn't?
A euphemism sounds like, but isn't.
Sounds asking like a slur, GPT. But isn't.
Sorry, Marshall?
Asking ChatGPT.
Asking ChatGPT as we speak.
Because I have Romeo, my new beautiful puppy.
Mm.
Very difficult, by the way. Loves to bite my ankles, draw blood. He's beautiful, but puppies are really freaking hard. And I talked to him in that, like, ooh, cutie, cutie puppy voice. And I said to him last night, I'm like, oh, who's a cute little bone licker? And there's something about bone licker that made it seem like I was calling my dog a slur. I don't know if that's just me, but I thought to myself, you know, I'm sorry. Calling you a bone licker wasn't nice, even though he was licking a bone. So I just thought to myself, is there a word for that?
Interesting. It sounds like you're calling him a monster truck.
A,
like,
bone licker. Yeah,
it doesn't sound nice. Coming down, the bone licker's gonna crush some cars.
Have you been to a monster truck
situation?
No, I
dream of it.
We should go.
I love Americana, babe. I want to go to a bull riding thing.
Yeah.
APB, babe. Is that what it's called? American
we're
going, Bull
Riding? You're coming ABR? With me next year. We're going back to Fort Worth to the rodeo. Oh, you'd love it.
I want to go to a rodeo. I want to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. I want to do it all. I want to go to Busch Gardens.
Yeah, Busch Gardens. Are they still around?
Not sure.
Not sure. No, probably not. They're probably.
Want to go to Mount Rushmore?
Ooh, I'm in. Never been.
Yeah. I want to see Alaska.
I want to storm the Capitol.
Yes.
Right?
Jan 6 is coming up and it's a big election.
Woo!
I wonder if there, I'm sure that, this is such a dumb subject because there's just going to be, we're going to be riddled in the comments. People being like, don't you know? And I'm like, yes, I know you're an expert on January 6th. But I wonder if there were like people on the outside of the Capitol going like, do we really, should we? Like, was there anyone who was a voice of reason who was like, think about it?
I'm sure the people got cold feet. I'm sure. Right. They're all like revved up. They had like 3 Red Bulls. They're starting to sprint in. They're sweating. Right. They're like, ah, all right, fine. And they rip off the Band-Aid. Or I'm sure that there are people that started to rip that Band-Aid, felt those long hairs and were like, ah, I'm out of here. I'm sure that there were people that left.
Yeah. Like there were people like they're like, and then there's one friend who's like, listen, I'm in, like, let's go steal a lectern and like, you know, draw on the walls of Nancy Pelosi's office, or I have a really lovely reservation at this seafood place with the stone crab. We're right by Maryland. The stone crab will knock your socks off. So yes, I say, let's go steal a lectern or let's go get some clam chowder.
Yeah, I used to love a clam chowder before I tore off seafood. Loved a clam chowder. I haven't had a clam 20 years. 20 years since I had a clam. Ugh. Delicious. And I prefer, anybody who prefers, this is a red flag again. You're on a date. You have 2 options, New England and Manhattan. You pick Manhattan, red flag.
I'll up that one more. I'd say anyone who turns down a bread bowl.
Ooh, delicious.
Right?
Delicious. Yeah. And for those that don't know, I'm sure you know, Manhattan clam chowder, a red sauce. New England clam chowder, basically yes. Clams fettuccine Alfredo. Unbelievable. So heavy, so delicious. And yes, so a bread bowl, fantastic. Those oyster crackers, God, we're back to talking about food.
Gorgeous. And why is the only major piece of flatware a bread bowl? There's no bread plates. There's no bread forks.
Bread fork would be tough. But a bread plate I'm in for. I'm totally in for a bread plate.
Why not?
I don't know. They should make it. Absolutely. It's kind of like the pizza from Domino's where you can pull off the crust. Which, by the way, is pretty dumb. Because then how do you eat the pizza? You rip off all the crust. How do you hold your pizza?
Then you gotta fold it from the middle.
But then you have no crust left.
I don't think anyone at Domino's headquarters is worried about your dining experience with their pizza. I think their entire goal is sell more pizza.
Yeah, sell more pizza. Sell more pizza.
I might be misspeaking here, so let's see. But I think Domino's has a Christian town that they created in Florida. Hold on.
Really?
I'm going to Google Domino's Christian World, and let's see what happened. World, Florida. I think so. Or maybe just the owner is pretty devout. Do you have to be Catholic to live in Ave Maria, Florida? Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, I'll ask another question. Do you have to be Jewish to live in Ave Long Island?
Where is Ave Maria, Florida? Let me guess. Naples?
It says 9 years. How Domino's Pizza Chain's founder established Ave Maria in Florida. Ave Maria, a planned community outside of Naples.
Wow. What a call. Wow.
Well, what a call, Ben. Oh, I love having a brilliant co-host.
There's something about the west side of Florida that just screams, we don't like Jews.
It opened in 2007 based on the vision of former Domino's CEO Tom Monaghan. In launching it, Monaghan said the town would run on Catholic ideologies and shun birth control and pornography. While he took back the statement, some say the community remains religious-centric, and some are calling it unconstitutional. The developers of the town have ambitious plans of high-end homes, top-notch infrastructure, and schools. There'll be 4,000 acres of land, 11,000 homes, and as of 2015, 750 homes have already been built. Wow. Isn't that fun? And at the center of the town is the Ave Maria Oratory, the only church in the community. Good question.
Or is it just made by the creator of Domino's and actually has nothing to do with Domino's?
You know that
there's got to be Domino's at the church.
There's a Little Caesars right next door. I mean, that's pretty wild, huh?
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. Speaking of nuts, I want to get into my What Are You Nuts, because it's also about food. And we're just not going to escape food today. This woman with her speak pipe saying that we don't stop talking about food. Honestly, my brain could only go to food the whole time. The whole time. My mom sent me an article. My mom periodically will send me weird news and say, Ben, I think this is a What Are You Nuts. And mom, this is a What Are You Nuts.
Have you ever heard
of meat glue?
No, tell me more.
Meat glue is something that is legal in the United States. It's banned in the UK. And what meat glue is you can take, Josh, pieces of cubed meat.
Okay.
Take a piece of ribeye, a piece of filet, a piece of knee, a piece of shoulder, whatever it is, cubes. Push them into a meatball of meat. But you ask, how do we get it to look like a steak? Meat glue, pour on the meat glue, mix the cubes together, take some saran wrap, cover it, put it in the shape that you want. You want it in the shape of a steak? Come back in a couple hours, steak. How vile is that? What are you, nuts? And now I'm thinking to myself, I've been to a cheap restaurant. I've been to a restaurant where the meat has felt a little cubey, you know? Like the steak wasn't perfect. And
Marshall,
now I'm thinking to myself,
have I eaten
meat cube? Have I eaten meat glue cubed steaks? It's fucking disgusting and should be illegal.
It should be illegal. That's nuts. I don't know anybody who would be like, sweet meat glue. But yeah, I think they do it with a lot of things. Like plenty of things are like mashed and pushed together. They do it with fish, imitation crab and whatnot. They do it with, I think they're doing it. And by the way, and I love like an Impossible Meat or a Beyond Burger, but it's all chemicals. Like, let's just not kid ourselves. Like, I don't think there's any way out of this thing unless you just eat pretty basic.
There's just, but I guess the difference between a steak and the chicken nugget, I know when I'm going to get a chicken nugget that there's probably like a piece of beak, a little tooth, some knee. It's ground up, right? You're eating, it's ground up. You throw everything but the kitchen sink into that nugget, right? But when I eat a chicken tender, when I eat a beautiful piece of steak, there's something about the sanctity of meat. Title of the episode, Sanctity of Meat.
Yes.
There's something about the sanctity of meat that I'm expecting to get a piece of meat that came from one singular cow.
Right. The sanctity of meat.
Just saying, the sanctity of meat.
Well, my What Are You Nuts is recently on my flight to beautiful Edmonton, Canada. And you know, I'm bullish on Canada. You know, it's one of my favorite places. I'm ready to move there at any moment. So I fall asleep, morning flight, right? And I feel tap, 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 tap. Now I'm feeling a poke. Right now I'm feeling something jammed into my side. I wake up, I remove not only my mouth guard, but my night mask. Mm. And it's the lovely flight attendant going, will you be dining with us this morning?
Ah, no.
Well, I was asleep. Oh, should I wake up for some imitation egg omelet that's going to give me IBS after this? Oh no, I think I'll pass and thank you for waking me up. What are you, nuts? If I'm asleep, I'm asleep. It's airplane food.
Morning flight?
7 a.m.
How far were you going?
3 hours.
Horrible.
Crazy.
There's an unwritten rule. It's probably a written rule. Morning flight, they don't turn on any of the lights. They keep it dark. People tend to be quieter on those flights. You typically don't hear many kids. Like, people aren't bringing their kids on the 6 a.m. flight, usually.
Yes, true.
And flight attendants are certainly not waking patrons to see if they want some shit snack. Hell no.
I could not believe it. Now, if we were, you know, third course into a wonderful dining, you know, transcontinental flight, and they're busting out those beautiful fresh-baked cookies.
Sure.
Wake me up.
If you fell asleep between the entree and the dessert, she can wake you up and ask if you want a cookie.
Right.
I agree. But otherwise, this is completely, completely unacceptable. But knowing you, the people don't know this. I try and share as much of this as I can. The people don't know that you are truly too kind for words to everyone.
No, I'm a devil. I'm a devil, Ben.
What did you actually say to her? Nothing. Obviously nothing. You're like, oh no, thank you so much for asking me. I'm good.
I said, no, but can I help you with any of the serving?
I just
I couldn't believe it.
It's funny.
Speaking of delicious things, did you hear this? And this is a barn burner. McDonald's will sell Krispy Kreme donuts at all of its U.S. locations by the end of 2026. Krispy Kreme donuts is going to be in all 13,500 locations across the U.S. The fast food giant announced on Tuesday. It'll take about 2.5 years to add Krispy Kreme sugary treats to McDonald's nationwide, but it's a partnership and...
Whoa.
Is that unbelievable?
Whoa. Two things. Yeah. First, good for Krispy Kreme. Yes. I feel like they had one leg left. They were hobbling everywhere, about to fall over, and all
you
of a
think?
Sudden. Oh yeah, I don't think that Krispy Kreme was doing great.
Huh.
I think that they were falling off. I think the donut shop in general is having a tough time. Sure, the Dunkin' Donut, because they really evolved, right? Dunkin' Donuts, breakfast food, coffee, all this stuff. Krispy Kreme, just a donut shop. And not your mom and pop's donut shop, just a donut shop. The best donut? I think so. But just a donut shop. For McDonald's to give them 13,000 stores, that's a big, big, big business boost for Krispy Kreme. So good for them. Wow. The amount of heart attacks in the U.S. is going to skyrocket.
It's going to go nuts. But also, it's going to be fascinating to see if they start getting real creative about the collabs.
Yes.
I mean, is there one day going to be a Big Mac with a nestled glazed donut instead of that third piece of middle bread?
Or the glazed donut is the bread.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Can I get an Egg McMuffin on a glazed?
Ooh. Holy crap.
You know they're thinking about that at McDonald's right now.
Yeah, they are. They are. Wow, that is something else. High people everywhere will never be the same. And
marijuana users?
And fat people everywhere will also never be the same.
Can you imagine marijuana Reddit right now?
Yeah, going nuts.
But you know what? I gotta fucking respect the game. And this is America at its best, right? Novo Nordisk, Eli Lilly, they're having a parade. All these anti-obesity medicines. The Walmart stock is down because people aren't buying much food. You know what? You know what McDonald's goes? Hold my soft drink. They say, hold my... No problem. I got something for them. We'll keep them fat.
We'll keep them nice and fat.
We got this. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only explanation.
Hold my beer. We got this.
Hold my belly.
Hold my
we
belly.
We got this. We got this.
Yeah, I'm going to give them something that's 9,000 calories. Good luck, Ozempic. Good luck, Mounjaro.
Yeah. It's just funny. You go from the McPlant, that's probably their last innovation, to the Krispy Kreme.
Do you think Mounjaro is living in your cells, in your body?
It can't be Mounjaro, right? It's Mounjaro.
Do you think Mounjaro is living in the cells in your body and they're just kicking back like it's spring break and they're just kicking fat's ass? And then someone eats a glazed Krispy Kreme quarter pounder and it's like a tidal wave coming over the beaches. It's like
Josh.
Normandy.
Wait. The glazed quarter pounder with cheese is a happy meal. What toy does it come with? I'll start. A little caricature of a 400-pound man. And as you keep buying, it gives you things that he can wear. So one is little Velcro shoes. The other is a little hat with a propeller. The other is a seatbelt extender.
Did you say a scooter already?
You got to collect them all. Oh my, a scooter.
Double wide Air Monarch Nikes. Triple E New Balances.
A Tommy Bahama shirt.
Sweatpants, Gold Bond powder.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know what? Much respect to McDonald's and the Krispy Kreme organization. And yet there is another story that I think is worth mentioning, that Jennifer Lopez's go-to bodega order gets ruthlessly mocked by New Yorkers. Bronx and the hood are tired, they say. I guess in her new movie, she talks about the things that she used to order when she was living in the Bronx. And in footage, she says that she'd go to a bodega and order a ham and cheese on a roll, a small bag of chips, and an orange drink, adding about the unspecified drink, if you know, you know. Hey, Ben, do you know?
Fanta? 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 It's Fanta, right?
Okay, wrong. But I don't blame you because I forget that you are on the younger side of millennial. So
Orangina?
Nice. I think I put some respect on that answer. I think,
High C,
worthy. Fanta wasn't a thing. Fanta's always been a thing, but I don't remember it ever being in bodegas in like the 80s and 90s. To me, there was two orange drinks that were like name brand. There was Sunkist and there was Crush.
Yes,
and those were like standard orange sodas. Crush also made a beautiful grape soda that was wow. Then, of course, you had like quarter water. Like you had like those off-brand, like 50 cent, like where normally like a Sunkist back in my day, a 20 ounce plastic bottle of Sunkist was $1 or like $1.25. But then they had this off-brand stuff called like Bahama Punch or just rando shit. And that was 50 cents. But like people are like, we actually don't know the orange drink. And also the ham and cheese on a roll, like to me, a bodega order is like a bacon, egg and cheese on like a Kaiser bun done only the way a bodega can, or like a chopped cheese. Like, I don't, it's interesting.
It's certainly a lazy order. Also, what does she have, it dry? There's nothing on it. Ham, cheese, no mayo, no mustard, dry.
It's
like if you're not commenting that you're lubing it up, you're probably having it dry.
Lube.
And that's nuts. That's totally nuts. But I don't know if I'm up in arms. It is what it is. I expect nothing more from her. I don't expect much from J-Lo at all, though. You halted me. And now I'm going to say, okay, fine. Okay, look, that was a little harsh. I'm not going to say that. You know who's really cool, though? Who's really cool? Reba. Reba McEntire.
Thank you guys for listening to the Good Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. We're talking Apple, Amazon. Give us 5 stars in the podcast app. What else? Rate, review, and subscribe. Your reviews really help us. Rate it. Next episode, we're going to do a bunch of speak pipes. We love you all, and we love Reba the most.
And watch Reba, the sitcom from 2003 to 2007. It's fantastic.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.